If you have your Bibles, we'll read from the book of Joel, chapter 2, the Pentecostal prophet. Angels, Peter said, desired to look into this experience. Prophets got a glimpse of it. Isaiah knew we were going to speak with tongues. Zechariah knew it was going to fall like rain. Hallelujah. Amos knew it was going to take some preparation. Hosea knew it would take breaking up the fallow ground. You know, it's just amazing how tidbits of Pentecost was seen before it happened. Malachi said he would suddenly come to the temple. Well, let's read it tonight from the book of Joel. Joel chapter 2. And we share together verse 1 and then verse 12 and a few verses thereafter. Blow a trumpet in Zion and sound an alarm. In my holy mountain, let all the inhabitants of the land tremble. Let all the inhabitants of the land tremble, for the day of the Lord cometh. It is nigh at hand. Verse number 12, therefore also now, saith the Lord, turn you even to me with all of your heart, and with fasting, and with weeping, and with mourning. Rend your heart and not your garments. Turn unto the Lord your God, for he is gracious and merciful, slow to anger, and of great kindness, and repenteth him of the evil. Who knoweth if he will return and repent and leave blessing behind him, even a meat offering and a drink offering unto the Lord your God. Blow the trumpet in Zion. Sanctify a fast. Call a solemn assembly. Gather the people and sanctify the congregation. Assemble the elders and gather the children and those that suck the breast. Let the bridegroom go forth out of his chamber and the bride out of her closet. Let the priest and the ministers of the Lord weep between the porch and the altar, and let them say, spare thy people, O Lord, and give not thine heritage to reproach, that the heathen should rule over them. Wherefore should they say among the heathen, where is their God? Then will the Lord be jealous for his land and pity his people. Yea, the Lord will answer and say unto his people, behold, I send you corn and wine and oil, and ye shall be satisfied therewith. And I will no more make you a reproach among the heathen. But I will remove far off from you the northern army, and will drive it into a land barren and desolate, with his face toward the east sea and his hinder part toward the utmost sea, and his stink shall come up and his ill savor shall come up because he hath done great things. Fear not, O land, be glad and rejoice, for the Lord will do great things. Hallelujah, what a promise. Be not afraid, ye beasts of the field, for the pastures of the wilderness do spring, for the trees beareth her fruit. The fig tree and the vine do yield their strength. Be glad, then, ye children of Zion, and rejoice in the Lord your God, for he hath given you the former rain moderately, and he will cause to come down for you the rain, the former rain, and the latter rain in the first month. And the floors shall be full of wheat, and the fat shall be overflow with wine and oil, and I will restore. And I want to notice that I've drawn a red line around it. I will restore to you the years that locusts hath eaten, the canker worm, the caterpillar, and the palmer worm, and the other denominations. My great army which I sent among you, And ye shall eat in plenty and be satisfied and praise the name of the Lord your God, for he hath dealt wondrously with you. And my people shall never be ashamed. And ye shall know that I'm in the midst of Israel, and that I'm the Lord your God and none else. And my people shall never be ashamed. And it shall come to pass afterward that I will pour out my spirit upon all flesh, and your sons and daughters shall prophesy. Your old men shall dream dreams. Your young men shall see visions. Upon the servants and the handmaidens in those days will I pour out of my spirit. Hallelujah. I'll show wonders in the heavens above, and in earth blood and fire and pillars of smoke. The sun shall be turned into darkness and the moon into blood before the great and terrible day of the Lord. And it shall come to pass that whosoever shall call on the name of the Lord shall be delivered. For in Mount Zion and in Jerusalem shall be deliverance, as the Lord has said, and in the remnant whom the Lord shall call. Glory. Let's turn to the second chapter of Acts. It's Pentecostal headquarters. It's the outpouring of the Holy Ghost when there wasn't anyone to give a seminar on how to get it. I like this. Hallelujah. They didn't even have a book out. It thrills me. They really didn't know what to expect, but it came. And when the day of Pentecost was fully come, they were all with one accord and in one place. And suddenly there came a sound from heaven as of a rushing mighty wind, and it filled all the house where they were sitting. And there appeared unto them cloven tongues like as a fire, sat on each of them, and they were all filled with the Holy Ghost and began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. I want to use just three little words in there, in that second verse. And suddenly there came a, and here they are, sound from heaven. I'd like to talk about sounds that accompany Pentecost. Would we lift our hearts to God and let's love Him together tonight? Oh, we thank you for this campground. Thank you for this hallowed sacred hour. We worship and adore the matchless name of a risen Christ. We glorify Him who is the King of glory, the great I am, the everlasting. We worship you for that unction of the Holy One tonight. Thank you for that anointing, Lord, we receive from you tonight. In the glorious name of Jesus. Our critics say that Pentecost is noisy. When I first got into Pentecost, they were singing, "It's all over me and keeping me alive." I just wish some of those old-fashioned Holy Ghost camp meeting days would get a hold of me again. I came to Oklahoma City to this campground. I had nothing but a 37 Ford when I was a 15, 16-year-old boy. I sat over to the side of the old tabernacle. I had a 37 Ford. I didn't have a motel room. I had an army cot, a bar of Lifebuoy soap, two changes of clothes, three towels and four wash clothes, a tin suitcase, a Bible, and a heart that was hungry. Hallelujah. Woo! What a camp meeting. As far as I'm concerned, that's the greatest camp I was ever in my life. Came a rain, and all I had to do was move in the tabernacle, so I moved in. Stayed here at night. We had camp meeting jubilee. It was the year the water went out here, and I was just as well off as anybody else with the rooms. What a night! But it was in that camp meeting that I saw the sun come up the next morning, for we were still praying and through to the Holy Ghost here on the altar. I just went back and got in my little army cot And I hadn't been there but a few minutes, and a young man came and said, "Donnie, help me get the Holy Ghost. I couldn't get it." I got out, took him down by side of this little branch, laid hands on him, and he began to speak in tongues, and I came back and got in bed. Oh, the sounds of Pentecost. This is a noisy bunch. Now, I don't like noise just for the sake of noise. I'm not interested in a Pentecostal romp. Just meet together and have that. But I am interested in that glorious visitation of the Holy Ghost that lifts us out of a rut and a despairing little bunch into a glorious visitation of the Holy Ghost. Amen. My heart's crying again for some sounds of Pentecost to be heard inside of our fellowship anew. There came a sound from heaven as of a rushing mighty wind. God has distinguished himself with a visitation by the wind. When Moses passed through the Red Sea, I shouted, "The Bible said a strong east wind blew a hole in that sea." Anything that was that strong, the Israelites couldn't have carried their kids through. But it's a supernatural breeze. Hallelujah. I'm talking about a supernatural sound from heaven. Read over a few more chapters in the 11th chapter of Numbers. When the children of Israel cried for meat, there came a wind from God, and it had quail in it. Oh, hallelujah. That same wind that can divide the Red Sea can turn every molecule into a quail. They came by the bushels. Hallelujah. You think God's ran out? I want to shout it tonight. He's still in the manufacturing business. Makes you want to shout. Glory. A strong east wind. Elijah, that prophet, I like him. He's one of my favorite. Elijah just had a revival on Carmel. Had an ecumenical council on their knees. I thought, Elijah, you should organize a charismatic group because you've got 450 of Jezebel's preachers on their knees. Amen. Nowadays, they're not on their knees. They're being interviewed. But anyway, would you shout? Had 450 of Jezebel's preachers on her knees. And I thought, Elijah, you're really going to have a revival. Brother, wait till that report hits. But Elijah said, while you got them down, kill them. Amen. And they had a preacher killing. That is the strangest message I've ever read. I've known a few. I wanted to. And some of you have really had a ministry in that. Thank you for those amens. Elijah was on his knees, crying to God, prayed, the wind, heavens opened, and the fire fell, the rain came. I like it, he outran the chariot, you know it, ran down, got to Jezreel, and Jezebel was upset. And she said, "I'm going to lift your head, Elijah." And he took off for the wilderness and got under a juniper tree. And I like that. That lets me know he's a man of like passion like we are. Under a juniper tree, he cried and said, "Oh, God, take my life." And I never did blame him. A lot of preachers blamed him. But I'd rather let the Lord would get me than Jezebel. Say, I just believe he'd be more kind than Jezebel. I like the way you're shouting now. All of a sudden, Elijah leaves that tree with angel food cake. And what a privilege it is to have angel food cake. My mother, when I was growing up, didn't cook many for them. Most of mine were real dark. You call them another kind of food. But Elijah came to a cave. And if you want something unhealthy in your Christian experience, you get in a cave and have a ministry of examining the saints. Elijah in a cave was sitting over there and said, God, they've thrown down thy altars, they've killed thy prophets, they've forsaken thy law, and I'm the only one left. And when you think you're the only one left, I doubt seriously if you'd know when God came. And all of a sudden it said, and the Lord passed by. And the Bible said there was a strong wind. And Elijah said, God's not in that wind. I don't believe it. I believe that wind that blew around that mountain, I believe God made it blow. Amen. Because the book says, now Elijah said it. It doesn't, the Bible doesn't say God wasn't in it. Elijah said he wasn't in it. And about that time the earth shook. And I've had some pretty big tremors, but I never have shook the earth. Say amen. I believe God's in the earthquake. And about that time a fire began to blaze. And he said God wasn't in that. And then the still, small voice came, and Elijah heard that. But I believe he's in the fire. I believe he's in the earthquake. I believe he's in the wind. For the very thing that Elijah said he wasn't in was the very thing that carried him out of this world. It was a chariot of fire and a whirlwind that lifted him off of planet Earth and started him on this trek to the glory world. Hallelujah. Wind of God, a sound from heaven as a mighty rushing wind. Oh, for revival again that you can hear about. A revival of visitation. I'm not interested in just noise, but give us that revival that brings that presence of God. I've never been in a real outpouring. There wasn't a supernatural visitation. You couldn't hear the cries and the rejoicing and the singing and the worship and the praises and the glory of the Lord in the tabernacle. Hallelujah. It's a sound from heaven, a wind. Job looked up full of sores with three friends from First Assembly to visit him. Job's one of my favorite Bible characters. I'm going to tell you, brother, that's the trial of your life. And brother, when he didn't have the book of Job to read. If he'd have had the book, he'd have known what the devil was doing. I got the book. Amen. Woo! And Job didn't have any of these tapes. Brother, he is just out there on naked faith. I don't understand that, God. I don't know what's happening. And it looks like they're going to get me, but I know that in my flesh I shall see God. But Job looked through his tears one day and saw a whirlwind coming. And brother, it wasn't an ordinary one. And out of that whirlwind came a voice of heaven. There came a visitation from God. There'll come a sound from God's heaven. They'll visit his church again. There's not only the sound of rushing wind, but there's a sound of awakening. Assemblies of God people tonight, let me plead with you, there's a great need for us to sound an alarm again in our churches. There are so many people sitting that it's become a situation. Let's have a revival. The most alarming thing about our situation is that we're not alarmed. May there be an awakening. May we realize there is an erosion in the midst. This is an hour of falling away. The same enemy, the same devil that stopped the prayer meeting down the street, that turned their lights out on Sunday night, that turned their prayer meeting into a bingo game. The same devil.
devil that stole their glory out of the choir. The same enemy that took amens out of the pew. The same enemy that made their preachers humanist and modernist, that rationalized the gospel, is the same enemy that's knocking at our door. Sound an alarm. Pentecost is an awakener. Say amen. To a cold, dry, dead church, it upsets the order. It does things that's not on the bulletin. Hallelujah. Give us another revival of the Holy Ghost so we don't know what's going to happen, but we'll wait for Him. Oh, King of Glory, come again and bring an awakening to the church. Say amen. We're tired of the status quo. We're tired of ritualistic worship. We're tired of routine calisthenics. God, give us the sound of awakening. Hallelujah. Would you shout now? Sir, my heart's crying tonight. And I realize if you took the social programs out of a miniature church, you would cripple it. Come on. Have you read the bulletins lately? 2 night will be choir practice. 2 night, Royal Rangers meet, and I love them. I'm for Royal Rangers. Don't think I'm missionaries. 2 night, we'll meet to plan ski trip. 3 night, we'll plan for canoe trip. 4 evening, don't forget the softball game. Would you shout now? If we took some of the activities out of our church and brought it back to just Pentecost, what we had when I got into Pentecost. I remember when I got a CA sticker. Woo! I thought I'd arrived. Hallelujah. I mean, it said CA, and I stuck it in the car window. Christ Ambassador. Hallelujah. It wasn't a weenie roast that held me, and I like wieners. You could tell by looking at me. I didn't get this big looking at it. But all for revival that will awaken the church from its lethargy, from its indifference, from its powerlessness, and bring back a Pentecostal awakening to the souls of mankind. One more time. Say amen. Pastors today will say, I'm afraid to have a revival. I'll be embarrassed. Well, bless your heart, honey. You might as well be as embarrassed as fooled. Say, would you shout now? Pastor, call me. Not, look here, notes all over the place. Blessed be their name. Pastor said not long ago, Brother Brankle, would you come for a meeting? I'm down to the wire. I can't have revival. We've tuckered out. I had the Doughboys Quartet. I had a Nashville artist. I've had them all. Amen. Brother, I've had the works, and we're played out. We can't even get a baker's dozen out. And this is my last. Oh, my brother, he said, we have about 400 in Sunday school, but I can't have revival. I said, I'll be there. Hallelujah. I can have as many as 300 saved and never have an outsider. Hallelujah. Say amen. Brother, bring a revival. My brother Lowenberg, bring an awakening. Sound an alarm. Let's have somebody. There will sound an alarm in this day. We've got so many pink lemonade that they're not. Dear, I want to bless you tonight. I take high blood pressure of the spirit. Aaron had a brother whose name was Her. Who in the world would name a kid Her when it's him? I've been in some churches. I wasn't sure whether it was her or him. Give us a revival again. That'll give us some rugged prophets. That'll bring back Pentecost. That will sound an alarm, an awakening. Wake up. Wake up, church. Wake up, Pentecost. This is our greatest day. Come on. The devil's got a policy he never violates. He never bothers people when they're asleep. Blessed be the tie that binds our hearts. Would you shout now? What am I talking about? I'm talking about Pentecost upsets the program. It upset the neighborhood when we got in. It upset the Lowenberg house. It upsets the preacher down the street. It upsets the minister a lot. It just upsets things. Leave it alone. We're all settled down now. Don't bother us. Why have you come to torment us before our time? Would you shout now? Pentecost, brother. Cargill is an alarm. Wake up. Cry. Blow a trumpet. Sound an alarm. Pastor Moses pastored his church with trumpets. One toot. I wondered how I handled it. He didn't have a PA system. In fact, I don't know how I'm an evangelist. I don't have a PA system. I don't have a bus. I've not been behind the Iron Curtain. And I'm not out of Teen Challenge. I just wish one more time. Brother, we're building on shifting sands. When you have to build on manipulation, come on. And we have to build on an entertainment program. That'll play out. When the ball game's over and the season's over and the basketball goal is folded up, something's going to have to hold you. When the storm comes, anchor on the rock. Find a refuge in Christ. Hallelujah. Moses pastored his church. And when he blew a trumpet, it meant either it's time to move. Brother, move. Hallelujah. Somebody said, I don't want to move. You'll be left without the glory. We're moving. Hallelujah. I like that. When they had an enemy coming, they blew a trumpet. When he wanted to gather them at the tabernacle, he blew a trumpet. Sound an alarm. Give us back preachers that'll preach God's word and name sin and hate sin and love righteousness and love truth and love an altar and love people and love souls and love mankind and will bring back till men find God in reality. Sound an alarm. Pentecost is an awakening. Sounds of awakening. It sounds of strong crying. Come and lie all night. Let them mourn. Let them weep between the porch and the altar. Many a church can't have a revival because there's no intercessors left. And God does things in answer to intercessory prayer. When I stand in this pulpit tonight, I rejoice because there's a dear Italian brother in California that called me January. He's an intercessory prayer warrior. He prays every day by the hour, sometimes 5 and 6 hours, and never gets off of his knees. He weeps and cries and holds on to God, has calluses on his knees, and talks in tongues and loves Jesus. He called me this year at Christmas and said, Don, I told God I was going to give him an hour a day for your ministry. 1 hour I'm going to ask God to send his glory. 1 hour I'm going to pray the anointing will fall on you. I'm going to pray when you stand up, there'll be a supernatural glow that'll come. Thank God for intercessory prayer. Somewhere we find that flow of heaven. Strong crying and tears and fasting and weeping and prayer again. I started preaching in western Oklahoma, right out here by Woodward. Discovered America out there. And the reason why I did, I wanted to be close to my mother when I was born. Got saved at home. Got the baptism in a schoolhouse, one-room schoolhouse. Right up by the teacher's desk. She liked me right up by her. I was her pet. I think. At least she wanted me up there close. A freckle-faced country boy. We live 17 and a half miles from the post office. Some of you know where my place is. Brother Echols, you know. Right out there in that sagebrush, two freckle-faced boys would pray, and I built me an altar over in Dad's pasture. And I'd cry and pray over in that altar. Oh, God, touch me. Oh, Lord. He hadn't called me to preach yet. I was just having a camp meeting. I'd cry. Nobody asked me to pray. I'd go to the, oh, God, I'd have a camp meeting jubilee. And one day he called me to preach. Ooh, I gave an altar call to the cedar trees, and they didn't budge. I preached. Amen. It was wonderful when he called me. I got out of that altar, didn't tell a living soul, but I knew I was called. Woo! Brother, it's like fire. I couldn't hardly live. Everything I saw was a message. I never told my parents, never told my mother, never told my dad, never told my brothers, never told the church. And I took a possum hunting lantern, and I hung it in an elm tree one night. And I said, Lord, there's a schoolhouse over here that's going to have church tomorrow, and they're Pentecostal. They haven't asked me to preach, but they don't have a preacher, and I'm going over and preach. They didn't know I was going to preach either. I was almost like the little young preacher that walked out and said, you and I have something in common. You don't know what I'm going to say, nor neither do I. I walked out there, and I said, folks, how many would be in favor of me preaching? I'm called to preach, and I want to preach. They all lifted their hand. I said, God bless you. If you have your Bibles, would you? And I'd found my message now. Oh, I found it. Because I start reading the New Testament through, and it's in the 14th chapter of Matthew. Hallelujah. And I walked into that little schoolhouse and began to preach. Peter took his eyes off the Lord and began to sink. Well, I didn't know you're supposed to have an introduction and 3 points and a poem. I didn't know that. In fact, many of my sermons yet are kind of like a fat man going through a barbed wire fence, a point here and a point there. Lordberg, I never dreamed you needed all that. I had a message is all I knew. Peter took his eyes off the Lord, began to sink. I began to preach in a little country schoolhouse. Peter took his eyes off the Lord, began to sink. I said, folks, Peter took his eyes off the Lord and began to sink. I'm telling you now. Peter took his eyes off the Lord and began to sink. And a great big old burly boy got up that was backslidden and came to the altar and gave his heart to God. And another one was filled with the Holy Ghost and they elected me pastor. Hallelujah. And I was in. First person I got saved in that church smoked cigarettes. And he couldn't get victory. We don't know that now. But we had a... Say, amen. Woo, when we got in, brother, you couldn't have hired us to go on to a picture show. You couldn't have hired us, brother. We'd rather been caught with an egg-sucking hound. Amen. I like the way you're looking at me. Brother, well, we hated sin. I never had been to a dance hall. Now I go to Assembly of God churches, and the number one question in CA is, what's wrong with the dance? Does it hurt to drink a little? We need some preaching back in the pulpit. Sound an alarm. Wake us up. Bring back revival. I know he'll upset Sister Gillicuddy, but she needs upsetting. Brother got saved in my church. Walked down the aisle one morning. I was just 15 years old. A lot of wisdom flowed out of that pulpit. One of my main ministries was marriage counseling. But you know what? It's just as effective and more so than now. There wasn't as many divorces in my church as there is in yours, and you got all kinds of books on counseling. You know what I told them? Pray through. Get the Holy Ghost and use Listerine. Amen. Brother, it's just as effective. Sounds of Pentecost. Crying and prayer was the key of the day. Brother walked down the church aisle and said, Brother Brankle, I can't get victory. I smoke cigarettes. I said, come and stand up here at the front. I didn't know what to do. I never had a session on that. I said, Brother, put your tongue out and I'll anoint it with oil. There's a bottle of oil in that schoolhouse that had been there for at least 15, 20 years. It was rancid. I put some on his tongue. And I prayed for him. And I said, God, deliver him. And if he is here tonight, he'd tell you that for months when somebody lit a cigarette, he could taste olive oil. It works. Our God is a deliverer. Sound, sound, sound. God, bring us back and let us have just one more time an old-fashioned Holy Ghost revival that changes the destiny of man. The day of Pentecost, they prayed 10 days. And Peter preached 10 minutes. Now we... preach 10 days and pray 10 minutes. No wonder we're having failures. Come on. We've had doctor sounding brass. We've had Dr. Dumbbell. We've had everything. Our folks have had a rash of things. And none of it's worked. Let's get back and pray and intercede and fast and cry and weep and travail in prayer till the Spirit of God settles down. And it doesn't take a maneuvering. It doesn't take some kind of a flashy evangelist. If the glory comes again and men cry, what must I do to be saved one more time? Sounds of Pentecost. Whew. You won't pray through without having a camp meeting break loose. Now, anything that amounts to anything starts with repentance. I was afraid of those round pencils. You can fall down up here. We're trying to get everybody happy. Are you happy? Everybody happy? Say amen. Everybody's rejoicing.
Stand, sit, get up, get down, pat your back, clap your hand, jump up and down, sit down. Would you? We haven't got any more glory than we had when we started. Just a little more healthy bodily exercise profiteth a little. I like the way you're shouting. We have maneuvered a substitute for the glory and the real joy of the Lord. Nobody wants to get in a church that's looks like there's weaned on sauerkraut juice. I've been in churches, I've prayed, God, don't let me catch what they got. Whatever this is, vaccinate me before I get. God, if this is catching, don't let me have it while I'm here. I've seen happier faces on iodine bottles than what I've seen in church. Oh, brother Dodd, I'm crying. Bring back the joy. But I want it to be the joy of the Lord. Not the joy of the favored evangelist, but a joy that comes from the heart. That's the overflow of the Holy Ghost. That's the fruit of the Spirit. That is the kindred to the glory of His presence. Hallelujah. There will be a sound of joy back in the church. You wonder why sinners don't come? I can go to your church and just don't have to even preach and tell you whether you've had a revival or not. If your church starts filling up from the back toward the front, you're dry as shucks. Say it again, brother. It's real. Amen. If it starts filling up in the front to the back, they've had a visitation. You can tell a church that's had the glory. I don't know much about pastoring churches, but I know how to feed cows. You can't get them fat a quarter of a mile from the trough. Get up where the glory, get where the glory is. Get where the fellowship is. Woo! Bring back the joy, the joy. We delight to do thy will, O God. It's a joy to give unto the Lord. It's a joy to worship. It's a joy to go to prayer meeting. It's a joy to read thy word. It's a joy to pray on the altar. It's a joy to lead sinners to God. It's a joy to worship. It's a joy to preach his word. Hallelujah! I was in a church the other day, and they'd had some dummy in there. Folks always say, Brother Branko, we know what you mean when you get through preaching. Had some dummy in there that was teaching them how to dance with the Spirit. Dummy. When you lose it, you'll have to have somebody like that. When you're as dead as a mackerel and cold as shucks and backslidden, you'll need somebody. But if the glory ever comes down, then you're going to worry, how are we going to settle them down? Woo! Send it again at the Oklahoma City campground. Pressuring Battalion, the sound of rejoicing. Charles Wesley laughed in the Holy Ghost all day long and couldn't quit. Convulsively laughing in the Holy Ghost. Till his soul rang. Brother, give us back that revival of reality. Not of gimmicks. Not of pseudo-Pentecostal mystics. Not some kind of a maneuvering of the flesh. Not an entertainment. Not a Hollywood presentation. But a divine manifestation to where we can wait in the glorious presence of the King of Glory. Just one more time. My heart's crying. I'll have to hurry. I'll never get through. I don't like long-winded preachers. There's a sound of restoration. You can't have Pentecost without restoring what the caterpillar and the locust and the cankerworm and the Amalekites and the Jebusites and the Russellites got. You... Amen. Pentecost restored the altar back in its place. Pentecost restored preaching back in the pulpit. Pentecost restored worship. Pentecost restores revival. Hallelujah. You have a Pentecostal church and you can have revival. Pastor called me not long ago and said, Don, I want you to come. And I said, I'll try to get there, but I don't know when. Well, he said, it doesn't make any difference what night you start. We're ready any night. He said, it's just as good on Thursday night or Friday. I don't care what night you start. We're ready. I got down there on Thursday night, brother. Woo! Hallelujah. And they were singing and worshiping God. I've been in that church 5 times. It started a few years ago. I was there and they had about 300. Ran about 75 when this young boy took it. He was even single. Had to go get married so he could pastor it. That's right. He didn't know how. Just knew how to talk in tongues and pray and love Jesus. Turn him loose. I wish we'd learned that much. Just turn it loose one more time. This boy pastored this church and the glory began to fall. And they prayed day and night. They prayed all night long. All night. I went down to Holden Revival and they had the church at that time ran about 3 and then went back and they had about 6. Went back and they had about 9. I was back this past year and they have 2,000 in service. And I'm not talking about any maneuvers, no gimmicks. It's just a Holy Ghost landslide revival. I went out to the church on Sunday evening at 5 o'clock. They announced choir practice on Sunday afternoon. Be here at 5. And the pastor said, don't sing a song till you prayed 30 minutes. I'm not interested in your singing. I want you to worship. I went out at 5 o'clock to see what they're doing. Because my ministry kind of along that line. And at 5 o'clock, I saw a choir on their knees crying and talking in tongues and praying for the glory to come down. I looked and tears were dropping over their cheeks. I went back at 6 to check my tapes on the tape table and they hadn't sung a note. They were still talking in tongues and crying and praying for the revival fire to come to that service that night. Did you hear me? Oh, God, break up the fallow ground. Break up our little maneuvering. Break up our little ditty. Break up our little presentation and give us another visitation and restoration of real old-fashioned worship unto God one more time. Whew. I went back at 7 and the pastor told the song leader, Brother Zip, get the choir. We got to start. He said, I can't. They're in there. They're lost in the Holy Ghost and I can't get them. How long has it been since you've seen that? He said, well, go get them. He said, I can't. He said, holler. I heard Brother Zip down in the choir room. Choir, Brother Lowry wants you to come now. Hallelujah. He finally got them up. They came down the hall staggering, talking in tongues. Hallelujah. Woo! No wonder the church is growing. No wonder there's 100 saved. No wonder there's 2,000 now. And there's not any kind of anything happening but a Holy Ghost revival. The choir came out on the platform still talking in tongues with their hands in the air. And nobody laid hands on them. And we didn't have any hind catchers. Amen. We didn't have any hind catchers. Nobody there to catch them. And over half of them were slain under the power. And the glory filled that tabernacle. And sinners cried out to God. People got saved in the balcony. They got saved in the front. They got saved on the side. God, give us another visitation. A sound of restoration. Hallelujah. Whew. Say that out loud. Thank you. Can I have a few more minutes tonight? That won't keep a pastor, but that'll keep an evangelist. Takes a 2/3 vote. But it's not in the minutes on us, is it, Brother Swain? There'll be a sound. There'll be a sound in the church of the supernatural. If Pentecost comes, you don't have to say, now, brother, oh, the glory's here tonight. Hallelujah. Get ready. I'm going to show you one of my faith tricks. We're going to lengthen legs tonight. Fellow was lengthening legs, and a little midget came up in the line. He said, which one of your legs do you need lengthened? He said, both of them. Let's work on it a while. I'm fed up with these faith trick shysters. Get us back to the supernatural comes. Hallelujah. Till the bone cancer's gone. Till the arthritis is gone. Until the glory of God comes and we forget who laid his hands on us or who said the word, but the power of God was present that day to heal. Hallelujah! With signs and wonders and miracles and gifts of the Holy Ghost. Woo! Give it to us, Lord! Hallelujah! Glory! Do it again, Jesus! Walk down these aisles! Walk among us! Let the presence of the King of Glory drive back the kingdom of darkness! And let the hallowed presence of the glory of God be manifest! Come, Holy Ghost! Come, Holy Ghost! Great God, would you? Great God. Oh, oh, holy, holy. Oh, glory. Hallelujah! 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 Holy, 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 holy. Oh, God, start a revival. Bring it back again. Oh, oh. Hey. Handa ba ma ma ma. Handa da na na ma ma ma. Hey. Hey. Oh. Oh, God. Hallelujah! Hallelujah! Glory! 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 Oh, God. Oh, hallelujah, hallelujah. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Turn loose, just help yourself tonight. I want you to just help yourself tonight. Just help yourself tonight. Glorify God. Let's believe him for miracles, for signs, for wonders, for gifts of the Holy Ghost. Great God! Great is the Lord! Great is the Lord! My Father, would you start a revival? My God, would you send an awakening? My Father, would you let it come? Oh, God. Oh, hallelujah. Oh, Shandala Mamanda, the Mamahanda, Yandala Mamanda, the Yandala Shandala Mamahaya. A sound from heaven, Lord, a sound from heaven, Lord. Great God, walk among us. Great God, would you walk among us? Great God, have your way, Lord. Send the supernatural, Lord. Send the mandia, let's believe him, folks. I don't care what position you get in, but let's turn loose and believe him for a mighty revival. I don't care whether you walk or whether you stand or whether you kneel or whether you sit, but cry to God for revival in Oklahoma. God of heaven, worship and adore you.